Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
Tire Rack, whose tire and wheel specialists offer advice about tires for various vehicles, driving styles, and roads. TireRack.com. And
Esurance, an Allstate company.
They've got this tool called Coverage Counselor that informs drivers about their car insurance options.
Coverage Counselor?
Yeah, maybe the Coverage Counselor can help us. We need some kind of counselor. Esurance. And
T. Rowe Price.
Presenting T. Rowe Price Connections, an online series exploring emerging opportunities from Africa to robotics. Welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the Early Childhood Development Division here at Car Talk Plaza, which, as you can probably guess, is run by my brother, since he's still in childhood development.
This is interesting stuff I learned from six-year-old kids. And it's, they say, honest to goodness, from an anonymous mother in Austin, Texas. And she's got a whole list of stuff that she learned from her little kids.
From her six-year-old kids? From some six-year-old kids.
I guess
kids.
Her own, her very own. And here they are. Some of them are related to each other. But a king-size waterbed holds enough water to fill a 2,000-square-foot house about 4 inches deep.
I know if you figure that one out.
I know if you figure that one out. If you hook a dog leash over a ceiling fan, the motor is not strong enough to rotate a 42-pound boy wearing Batman underwear and a Superman cape. It is strong enough, however, if tied to a paint can, to spread paint on all four walls of a 20-by-20-foot room. This sounds like Dusty Chalk's brother's kid.
Oh, yeah.
You should not throw baseballs up when the ceiling fan is on. When using the ceiling fan as a bat, you have to throw the ball up a few times before you get a hit. A ceiling fan can hit a baseball a long way. The glass in windows doesn't stop a baseball hit by a ceiling fan. No matter how much Jell-O you put in a swimming pool, you still cannot walk on water. Pool filters do not like Jell-O. Always look in the oven before you turn it on. Plastic toys do not like ovens. The fire department in Austin, Texas has a 5-minute response time. The spin cycle on the washing machine does not make earthworms dizzy. It will, however, make cats dizzy. Cats throw up twice their body weight when they're dizzy. You can just see a six-year-old kid doing. I love the Batman thing with the ceiling fan.
I love it too. I didn't know it didn't work. I was going to try it myself.
Oh boy,
boy, it is reminiscent of our friend Dusty Chalk's brother.
Yeah, Kenny.
Kenny
Chalk,
who went to work one day, and his twin boys decided to surprise him.
Yeah,
and as he walked home from the bus stop, they were in the driveway painting his car.
With brushes.
With brushes and rollers.
Well, he may have said something about, I don't like the color of the car, and they were trying to do the guy a favor.
You never know.
Where are they now?
Yeah, they're probably congressmen. Look, if you'd like to talk to some underdeveloped siblings and ask us questions about your car, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-2782-55. Huh? Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Caroline calling from Royalton, Vermont.
Caroline?
Caroline.
Caroline.
Yes.
With an I-N-E.
Yes.
So, Caroline, what's up?
I have a 2001 Jetta, and I have a penny stuck in the steering wheel that makes the horn go off.
Who did this? One of your kids?
I am so embarrassed, but no, I did it.
So you were stopped in traffic or something, and you were playing with the penny.
Yes, exactly.
And trying to accomplish what we don't really know.
And it's not
but
about
at some
business.
Point, it slid into that space between the steering
exactly,
wheel
yes.
and the column.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah. And now my horn goes off with no real regularity.
Provocation, yeah. Well, except that the penny's in there.
Right.
So what have you tried? Have you tried using a vacuum cleaner?
No.
No, get it out? I haven't tried anything because I was nervous about the airbag.
I was going to warn you about the airbag and suggested if you do anything in there that you should definitely wear a football helmet. But other than that, the only real way to do this safely is to have somebody pull the steering wheel off.
So I have to take it into the
Well, you have to take it into somebody. It doesn't have to be the Volkswagen dealer. It's going to be someone else who has a football helmet. And what they'll do is they will take off the horn pad, which houses the airbag, and they'll unplug it. And there are directions. You have to unhook the battery and make sure that it stays unhooked for a certain amount of time so the airbag doesn't deploy from any kind of residual current built up. And then you do that, and you hope that you follow the directions, and they advise you to keep your head to one side. You never know.
Okay.
And when they pull the steering wheel off,
the penny will fall right out.
The penny will fall out. Yes. And then you should, encase it in epoxy and hang it in the rearview mirror. Because it's going to cost you $100 to get this done.
I know.
And we don't want to really know what you did to do this, but is this the worst thing you've ever done to your car?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been treated well, except for the penny.
All right. Well, I mean, it could fall out, but I don't imagine that it could ever trigger the airbag, because that's not where the triggering's done.
Oh, okay.
So there's no danger of that. And even if you were to get in there with dental floss or something, you might be able to fish it out, but I doubt you're going to be able to do it.
Some windy night, though.
That
horn is going to stop blowing in the middle of the night.
I think it might. It's blowing pretty bad now, so we'll figure it out.
All right. Do you live near other people, or you live stuck in the woods someplace?
I live with other people, but we're pretty rural.
All right.
Yeah.
Good luck, Carol.
So you'll just be keeping them awake at night. Good luck. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. What do you figure her first two words were when that penny...
I know the first word. Oh.
Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is David from Placerville, California. How you doing?
From where?
Placerville, California.
Placerville.
Yes.
P as in Peter?
Yes.
Like Placerville?
Exactly. That's another way to pronounce it.
Oh, but it's pronounced Placerville.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And your name is Peter?
What? No, David.
His name is David. Will you pay attention?
David.
No one
from,
listens.
David from Peterville, California. Okay.
Close enough.
All right. We're ready for you now, David.
Okay,
shoot.
Good. Well, yeah. I have a persistent problem with my 1987 Nissan pickup. My wife has finally convinced me to call you guys to deal with this problem.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, when it accelerates at low speeds and I'm accelerating slowly, at a certain RPM, the car jumps. And it could be anything from hesitates to jerks and jumps and throws my poor dog in the back of the truck all around the truck. It's particularly embarrassing when I'm in traffic because people around me think that I don't know how to drive stick because the car just jerks forward.
Oh, it's the stick shift?
Wait a minute now.
So
this is not from a dead stop, right?
If I accelerate quickly from a light, for example, you don't feel it. But if I'm accelerating slowly or holding a certain speed, it's almost like there's an RPM zone at a certain RPM that if I slowly pass through that RPM, the car loses its gas or loses its oxygen and just stops functioning for just a second, and the engine just hesitates for a second.
This like first gear, second gear, any gear,
but because its slower speed is more apparent, it's easiest to tell in the lower gears.
Does it just go whoop and then it's over, or does it go whoop, 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 and the dog is whacking his head against the back window all the time?
That's a good question. It seems to me that it's one jerk, but because of that, it
like
be...
my brother,
right? Like the host of Car Talk. It's one jerk.
No, one jump. Let me rephrase.
Yeah.
Well, this 87 Nissan pickup truck has a carburetor.
Yes, it does.
And I think that you have a dirty circuit in your carburetor. There's one RPM you get to where you're not getting the right amount of gasoline.
And I think David said that that's what was wrong.
Well, it seems like
he knew that.
But I brought it to all dealers, and I don't think that the dealers are sensitive to No dealer's ever noticed it, and they always say, oh, we don't feel it, we don't feel it.
Well, it is, you know, if you drove the thing maybe a little bit harder, i.e. if you accelerated a little bit faster,
mm-hmm.
you probably wouldn't notice it.
Right.
But now that you've noticed it, you're fixated on it, you're looking for it.
Absolutely.
And so is the dog. Imagine the anxiety you created in the dog. Oh, no, not again.
My wife is like, I'm fine with it, because if I make the car jump around, people look over in traffic and think, oh, it's just a woman, she doesn't know how to drive stick. But I'm very sensitive to it, apparently, being a male, and I get worked about it.
So I see what this is not really a problem with the vehicle. This is a self-image problem.
Right. You can't have people around town talking about you. Look at David. How long has he been driving stick shift now? What a klutz.
Right. It is a small town I live in. So, yeah, I don't want to be embarrassed by this.
Yeah, this is very embarrassing.
Well, I think you may ultimately need a carburetor rebuild.
Okay. Ooh.
You can't.
No, you couldn't afford it.
Couldn't afford it. For an 87
right.
Nissan
pickup? If you're driving an 87, by definition, you can't afford it.
This is true. I agree.
But I would try various additives.
Oh, yes. This is a chance to go to the auto parts store and buy things that say miracle on them. Because it's going to take a miracle to do this.
Okay.
No, I mean, it's possible, isn't it? Does any of that stuff work?
Oh, sure. Oh, no, there are lots of things that work. I mean, you might want to try some of the...
Yeah, some pure gas is good.
Some of the cheaper... And I think maybe even last week or the week before, we recommended Tecron, which is a product made by Chevron.
Okay.
I mean, I'm reluctant to recommend continued use of these things because I have a gut feeling that they put more carcinogens into the atmosphere than we could ever imagine.
What? You a little tree hugger all of a sudden.
I'm with you there.
But if one can... seems to, you know, eliminate it, or close to eliminate it, then the second can might be justified.
Okay. Do you think that I'm doing bad things to the car by this? I mean,
no. Like, I know what you mean. It is lurching, and that's not great for the drivetrain, but I wouldn't worry about it. The bigger issue is your self-image.
Right.
And that's the thing I'm worried about.
Okay, thank you.
Because we know how fragile a man's self-image can be.
Right, especially when you're driving a truck.
I mean, the fact that you wouldn't even give us your real name and you have to use David, and we know your name is Peter.
Hey, thanks for calling, David.
Okay, thank you, guys.
See you, Pete.
Bye-bye. You got to blow the guy's cover.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Donna from Grand Forks, North Dakota.
Where are you from?
Grand Forks, North Dakota. Have you ever been up here?
No, thanks.
No, thanks. Don't come in January.
Don't come in March. I don't have anything against North Dakota, but I don't want to be there.
Well, you know, me neither, but here we are.
Grand Forks, is this like the culinary capital of North Dakota?
Grand Forks.
Oh, absolutely. Right down the street from, Super Spoons and Marlin Knives. That's where we are, Grand Forks.
So what's up, Donna?
Well, the problem is my husband drives this car. It's a 1977 Dodge Aspen.
Does he still own any bell-bottom pants?
We'll say none that fit.
None that fit, but he still has them.
Yeah, you've got him pegged. I mean, this guy cannot get rid of anything, and this car is top of the list.
What does he do for a living?
Well, he's an administrator at the University of North Dakota.
Ah.
Yeah. Anyway, the problem is, the car is wonderful. It starts every morning, not without fail. It's almost like he gloats about it, you know. My car sometimes has to be jump-started, his car goes. The thing is an eyesore. It's embarrassing. I mean, this is sad. He came home last fall, gleefully showing me that now they make duct tape in white. Now his car is white, so he can duct tape the holes up on this car.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's very sad.
I'm the proud owner of a 63 Dodge Dart. And I mean, the coldest days of the year, Bill, I turn that key and that baby starts.
Whoa, wait a minute. When you go out there at noontime and start the car, that doesn't really qualify as the coldest day in the year. It's warmed up from like 9 degrees to 19 degrees.
No, there have been situations when my car has been behind my wife's car.
Oh, you have to back
and
up.
And I had to back out so she could go to work.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And the thing started right up.
It's pathetic. Last winter, I thought maybe I was going to get somewhere because he came home one day and told me, I think this is the end of the Aspen. And I'm trying not to jump up and down for joy. But it had, like, a cylinder that isn't working anymore. And he told me it would cost $1,000 to rebuild the cylinder. So, you know, we knew it wasn't worth it. This fall, this summer, I guess, last summer, we had a big hailstorm. He had I couldn't do this. He had the nerve to take the car to the insurance company and get some money for hail damage to this car. I'm thinking, how can you get hail damage on a car when the hail falls through the holes? But this is what he did. And you know what they told him? Well, we can't give you more than half the value of the car, so all we can give you is $200.
They did, eh?
They gave him money.
Well, your curse, Donna, is that you are married to an inveterate chiseler.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything you can do about it. However, I would recommend that you see if you can get some people from the art department of the university to take this as an art project.
There you go.
I remember some years ago, I was in Provincetown on Cape Cod, and I saw a car that had, it was an old jalopy.
Yes.
That they had taken and covered with epoxy cement.
Uh-huh.
And to that epoxy, they had affixed seashells and beach sand.
Yeah.
So they covered the whole car with beach sand and seashells and seaweed.
Wow.
It was kind of neat looking.
Boy, it would certainly be a boost for his image, you know. And mine. I mean, I had to drive the car a couple of weeks ago when mine was in the shop. This is what predicated my phone call. I actually had to drive the car.
And you were embarrassed.
I was taking all the back roads. I was trying to drive at night. I mean, it was just, it was humiliating.
Ah, come on, Donna.
No, you need dark glasses.
Dark glasses.
And a hat.
Yeah, hat. I didn't.
And
a wig.
Your husband, don't worry. It'll run on five cylinders just
fine. It will?
Fine.
Like, for how long?
Forever.
Well, longer than you can hold out.
Yeah. Tell him just keep driving. I think it's wonderful that he's still driving it.
You think so?
Yes. Because I think the world has become too enamored of perfection.
Oh, really?
And I think it's nice that once in a while someone is willing to cast aside the chains of perfection and just live the way it is, you know?
So I should celebrate
good
this,
enough.
Huh?
Well, you do not have to embrace perfection to want to get rid of ugly.
My point, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, this car is downright ugly.
Yeah.
But I really think your only hope is to get some art students to come and fix this car up.
I like it.
And make it, if nothing else, the talk of the town.
I like it.
Go for it, Donna.
Thank you.
See you later.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
And give my best to your husband.
God.
Thank you.
Loosen the plug on the oil pan and drain the oil out. When it throws a rod, he won't fix it. See ya. All right, look, it's now time for my brother to not remember last week's puzzler.
You're right. There was no new puzzler last week. I forgot.
You mean you forgot that you didn't have to remember?
Well, I forgot to forget because I'm lucky I didn't remember it by accident. Are you with me on this?
Another close call. We'll be back in just a minute.
That we were driving up in state 35. How did we ever make it home alive? 100 miles an hour past the trooper on the right. No, sir, I'm sorry.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from claiming to be the long-lost relatives of Powerball jackpot winners from NPR, NPR member stations, and
Lumber Liquidators,
hardwood, bamboo, and cork flooring for the home handyman or building professional.
More at lumberliquidators.com.
And the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to a vigorous presence for poetry in American culture. Poetryfoundation.org. And
Angie's List,
providing reviews of local contractors, dentists, electricians, and mechanics to keep the consumer informed.
More at angieslist.com.
And even though the State Department sends John Kerry to work on a partnership between us and a brain or two, this is NPR.
Support for Car Talk comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and the Bridgestone Americas Trust Fund, dedicated to improving the lives of children in Middle Tennessee and across the Americas by supporting programs that promote education and the welfare of children.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, duh, car repair, and the hate mail division. Hey, what do you got from the mailbag,
well,
man?
Well, it's not really the hate mail division.
Oh, no?
It's just a bunch of interesting ads that people have sent us. I mean, get these ads actually appeared in newspapers. Here's one. Wanted. Somebody to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. Write to post office box, blah, 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 blah. You get paid after we get back.
You're right.
It says, must bring your own weapons. And then in parenthesis, I have only done this once before.
Well,
here's one.
That sounds interesting. I mean, he's already done it. Oh, she's already done it.
Here's another one. Used tombstone. This isn't a for sale thing. Used tombstone. Perfect for someone named Homer Hendelberg.
Ideally suited for.
Oh, man. You couldn't make up stuff like this.
No,
could you?
You really couldn't. And I'm sure there's going to be another Homer Hendelberg. Okay.
I didn't even know he was sick.
I mean, why wouldn't you buy the thing?
Yeah. It should say, ideally suited for somebody named Homer Hendelberg who's sick.
That would be really ideal.
That would be perfect.
Well, look, we will have a new puzzler, not automotive in nature.
Oh.
Well, I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't really decided yet, but it will be new nevertheless. And it's coming up in the third half of the show. Now, this third half thing has confused a lot of people.
It has, yes.
Yeah. We just want everyone to know that you're really getting 50% more for your money here with Car Talk, because in the time it takes for most shows to be finished,
yeah,
we give you an extra half hour because we talk faster.
Exactly. Right? I mean, so you get three hours.
You get a show and a half a week.
It's fabulous, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can do a show and a half in a week and a half in a day and a half, like one and a half guys. Anyway, stay tuned for that puzzle. In the meantime,
seven maids with seven mops can clean seven rooms in 7 days.
If you have a question about your car or anything else, the number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Pam from Tulsa.
Hi, Pam. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thanks.
We're having a rollicking good time ourselves.
Well, you are. It's fun to listen to.
Hey, is it spring yet in Oklahoma?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
The tulips are coming up, and the daffodils are blooming.
Great.
And, yep, it's springtime here.
It hasn't snowed here for a couple of days.
Well, you know, I realize that March 20th being the first day of spring is only for, I would say, the southern tier of the United States. And I think it's rather unfair that they should taunt.
It's cruel to even mention spring on March 20th in the northern hemisphere here.
Anyway, Pam, now that you've been enjoying spring in Tulsa, what else do you need?
Thanks, McCall.
Good talking to you.
Yeah, nice talking to you, too.
I have my son drives it now, a 1990 T-Bird that I bought in 93, and it has a sound in the front end in the cold weather, which isn't as long as up there. It kind of sounds like it's got arthritis. It's like this real... Yeah, and it's really loud, and I've asked, different places to look at it, and, well, they can't find anything wrong, and they lube this and lube that and what have you, but nobody seems... It sounds like metal. But I can't seem to figure out what it could be in order to get rid of the sound.
Man, there are so many things that can make that noise.
And it's only in the cold weather. It's not when it's wet.
Has anyone else heard it besides?
Oh, yeah, yes. I am not alone in this.
You're not delusional. The mothership hasn't been communicating with you.
No. Now, I'm sure my son would be able to hear it if he could hear it over the stereo system that he's got in there now.
Yeah, well, that's pretty good, isn't it? But has it been heard by any of the professionals to whom you've taken it?
Yeah, they should have. I mean, I've left it when it's been cold, for just some repair work and said, look, would you check this out? And they, but they say, well, it might be this, it might be that. I mean, could it be bushings or something? Or
How long has it been there?
Oh, 5 years.
You're calling now?
I couldn't get through on the line.
You couldn't get through. It's been on hold for 5 years. 5 years, and it hasn't changed much in 5 years.
Uh-uh. No. And see, I don't drive it regularly now because my son drives it, so, you know.
And he listens to the head-banging music,
exactly.
So you don't care anymore.
Between that and the ground effects on the car, you know when he's coming.
How much does he drive it?
He drives it because he drives it to and from school, and he's actually in an auto body tech program.
Well, why isn't he fixing it himself?
Can't hear it.
He can't hear it over the music.
Well, I mean, yeah. While it could easily be a bushing, I have a feeling that it's the bearing at the top of the McPherson strut.
I think so, too.
Ah.
And someone who's interested in finding the noise ought to be able to duplicate it if they left the car on the ground in cold weather outside.
Mm-hmm.
And pushed vigorously up and down on the bumper.
Mm-hmm.
They ought to be able to get it to make the noise without the car being in motion.
Okay.
Because if it's a suspension kind of noise, it'll be easy to find then. And they can merely listen with a stethoscope and say, oh, yeah, that's coming from or someplace else.
And it is suspension because you said it happens when you go over a bump.
Right.
Or something. And they'll find it and they'll fix it in 15 minutes.
No, once you find it, you can have your son fix it in shop.
Exactly.
Okay.
Good luck, Pam.
Well, thank you much.
Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Bob from Babylon.
Bob from Babylon.
Yeah.
I love your hanging gardens. People always come into the garden and say, how are they hanging, Bob?
Okay. I'm sorry. We're both sorry.
We had a hard day.
Hey, listen,
we haven't answered one question correctly, Bob. Ask us something simple.
Well, this one's going to save my life, probably.
Go ahead.
I've got small cars, a Saturn, an Austin, and a Capri convertible. Now, question, if a big guy is coming toward me and a head-on collision is unavoidable,
yeah.
Am I better off accelerating when I see him or her coming toward me or decelerating? But I heard that mass sort of increases with velocity,
yeah.
So maybe I should hit him harder.
Yeah. What you should be doing is praying.
Yeah, well.
Because if the guy is coming in a semi, there's nothing.
Well, unless you can get your speed up to near the speed of light.
Yeah.
If you could do that,
yeah.
Then your mass would be so much greater than his.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
You just run over him like
run
he was
right
a bug.
Over. Yeah. But you'd have to do this right away. So not only would you have to reach the speed of light, but you would have to go faster than the speed of light in order to attain the speed of light by the time he hit you.
There you go. Because you wouldn't be able to see him unless you saw him.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right,
Is that it?
Yeah, you solved my problem. I just hit the brake and pray.
Oh, no, you're always better off slowing down.
Always, huh?
I mean, for example, what if you could suddenly go backwards? Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah,
right? Well, zero is closer to being backwards than 50 miles an hour going straight ahead.
Because I think you would have to add up the energies. The kinetic energy is one half the mass times the velocity squared.
Yeah.
You know, so his is what it is. He's doing 60. You can calculate what his is. And obviously, you make yours smaller by by either going zero velocity or negative velocity.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, no, don't speed up. It's bad. But just in case you don't believe us, you should definitely start wearing your football helmet when you drive.
And these cars, I would practice evasive action.
Yeah, better to hit a tree.
Hey, Bob. Love your gardens. Thanks for calling.
Hey, thanks, bud.
See you later. 1-888. Oh, you do. 1-888 Car Talk. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Ann from Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Altoona. That's like west, right?
That's like west of you. Not west of Minneapolis.
Anyway, what's up?
We have a 94 Subaru Legacy wagon, and before I tell you what's wrong, I have to warn you that the people at the Subaru dealership now have no clue where to go from here. The people at Subaru Technical Support have no clue where to go from here. Everybody is stumped. So as much as I hate to say it, you guys are probably my car's last hope.
Otherwise?
Otherwise, I don't think I have a car.
not a bad thing.
Okay.
Unless you live in Altoona.
I know right away. I don't know what the question is, but I know the answer.
Okay.
You have a bad ground.
I hope.
Yeah, I like it.
I get it.
That's it.
That's my answer, and I'm sticking with it.
I think you're right.
Go ahead, Ann.
Okay. It started back in September. We were driving up a hill with the air conditioner on, and my son noticed a white mist coming in through the vents.
I don't know what the question is, but I know one thing.
What's that?
The answer is not a bad ground.
All right, white mist. Go ahead.
So we were real close to the dealership, so we drove it into the dealership, and by then the car had drastically overheated. They changed the thermostat. A week later, the same thing happened, and this time the antifreeze came in on the floorboards of the car, so they changed the heater core.
Duh, yeah.
Okay, so okay. 2 weeks later, my husband's driving the car, and he notices the white mist again. The car's overheating. He goes to the dealership. The antifreeze pours out on the floor again, and they replace the heater core again, thinking that they had a defective heater core. So 3 weeks later, on Thanksgiving Day, we're traveling out of town. The white mist comes through the vents again. The car overheats. The antifreeze pours out on the floor. We just had the car towed back to the dealership, where they changed the heater core for the third time, flushed the radiator, and said that the liquid that came out was milky white. They flushed it 4 times till it ran completely clear, replaced all the hoses, said that the substance, the residue in the hoses, was white and flaky, powdery when it dried, not oily. At that point, they determined, or they think, that this white stuff was what was clogging up the heater cores and causing them to destruct. They pressure checked the car, they said, to rule out a head gasket. It was fine for 3 months, and then the white mist came back. The heater core shot again, and the radiator is full of the white stuff again. Any ideas?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was carried away.
Ann, how are you? Is there something we can do for you?
We have this car.
And so the theory is that this white stuff, whatever it is rotting away the heater cores and has done so 3 times?
It will do it in as short a time as 3 weeks?
Well, no. When they completely flushed the coolant system, it took 3 months.
And but as far as you know, they have determined that the heater cores that they've taken out...
Yes.
Leak.
Yes, as far as I know. And their theory is that this white stuff is clogging the...
See, but clogging would not cause the heater core to leak.
If anything, the white stuff, whatever it is...
would stop it from leaking.
Might be corrosive to the heater core. For example, the radiator on this car may be made out of 94. It's probably made out of copper and plastic.
Okay.
The heater core, on the other hand, may be made out of aluminum. So it's possible to have some agent in the cooling system that is corrosive to just one component. That would be the heater core.
White stuff.
Have you been to Alamogordo, New Mexico, ever?
No, and no one but the dealer has ever touched the radiator of the car. There's not a whole lot of places to get foreign cars worked on here. So they're the only ones we've ever taken it to.
Well, I mean, the fact that they have flushed it out... And don't forget, every time the thing leaks and it leaks the antifreeze all over the place, whatever was introduced into the cooling system had to have been so diluted by now.
Unless.
That it can't possibly have the same effect on subsequent heater cores as it did on the first one.
Unless.
Unless.
Unless it's being produced.
There you go.
By the engine.
There you go.
And it's a bad head gasket.
There you go.
Now, we don't know what it is. Let's work on that for a minute. But
I think the chemistry is way beyond us.
No, it's not.
This is where you get yourself in trouble. You should just shut up and hang up right now and say, Ann, good luck.
No. I mean, think about it. We got some simple chemistry here. We know we've got carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide.
Nitrous oxide.
Nitrous oxide.
It's making nitric acid. There you go. Okay, good enough. See, Ann? That's what it's doing.
It's making nitric acid. Oh! And what we see, as everyone knows who's taken basic, simple, first-year chemistry...
Here's where the foot goes right down the old throat.
Copper nitrate is a white powder.
It is?
No, but wouldn't it be great if it was?
It would be.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's forming copper nitrate.
She hung up about 10 minutes ago. She said that's
you know
nice
what you
flip.
Need? You need a head gasket.
Do you think? Wouldn't the white stuff be oily instead of powdery? That's what the dealer
No, copper nitrate is your basic salt.
Okay.
An acid and a base to form a salt and water. I mean, it's chemistry 101. Tell them to check the radiator for emissions.
Okay.
What they want to do is check for the presence of combustion gases in the coolant system.
And I'm going to guess that they're going to find that you need a head gasket. And I'm surprised that the big wigs at Subaru didn't think of this, because it only took us 25 minutes to come up with it.
Yeah, and these guys were working on it for months. But there were two of us.
Each of us has half a brain.
Yeah, but I do agree with my brother that whatever it is, I think, is being manufactured by your engine.
Okay.
I don't like copper nitrate.
No?
I like copper carbonate.
Really?
Carbonate sounds more white.
Oh, like sodium bicarbonate.
There you go.
I need one, I think.
And actually, what I really like is aluminum carbonate.
That's even better.
Al2CO3.
You know, they're going to call up and ask for your diploma back if you keep this up. I think MIT is online, too.
I love making up stuff.
Yeah, we noticed. Well, look, we have no more time. The show's over, Ian. So we wish you luck, and please
let us know.
Don't ever call back. No, let us know if
yeah, I hope this helps.
I will let you know.
All righty.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Good luck. Okay, look, it's time for us to do...
What?
You know, that thing we do a couple of times during every show.
Oh, give a right answer?
No, that's once every other show. It's time to take a short break, and we'll be back with a brand new scintillating puzzler in just a minute.
I want to find the beauty that I know is hidden in my crankcase. I'll take apart my rocker arms and put them together again. I'll take my engine out so I can put it back in. I want to scrape my knuckles and get oil all over my face. Alternator, carburetor, generator, regulator. I never was too smooth an operator. I can't get them off or else I can't get them on. And if I get them on, I probably put them on wrong. Someday I'm gonna learn how to fix my own automobile.
Support for Car Talk and NPR comes from renting out Car Talk Plaza as an air traffic control tower for small airports from NPR, NPR member stations, and
the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
Presenting the MacArthur Award for Creative and Effective Institutions. Winners are at macfound.org. And
the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation.
Working to help communities get healthier online at countyhealthrankings.org. And
the William and Flora Hewlett Foundation. Making grants to solve social and environmental problems at home and around the world. On the web at Hewlett.org.
And even though all the armies in Game of Thrones unite to storm NPR headquarters whenever we say it, this is NPR.
When did you shout last time you were so happy?
Yeah! Yeah!
There were bars of color and I was floating through them and they were floating through me.
My experience was so exalted.
And it was just glorious.
It's beautiful.
Is it real?
Next time on Radiolab,
Bliss.
Sunday nights at 8 o'clock.
Ha! We're back. You're listening. Put your headphones on. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzle.
I can hardly wait.
Well, this was submitted by Leo Leonard from Linwood, Washington, and I chose it because it was written by hand
on
a piece of paper.
Wow, with lines on it from a pad. A pad of paper. He just wrote it on a pad of paper and tore it off.
Like a semi-legal pad with a margin on one side. That's semi-legal?
That's
paralegal.
Paralegal.
The legal pads have a margin on both sides, right? So you can, write in the margins?
Yeah, right.
What makes a pad legal?
Well, as long as it's not violating any of the basic
laws. As long as it's not contraband. I don't know. This is in the form of a riddle.
A riddle? That's new.
An automotive. And I lied earlier. I said the puzzle was non-automotive in nature, but that's only because I really didn't have a puzzle.
While we were talking and it was sitting there in the pile, it became automotive. Something happened to it. There's no way to predict these things.
What is it that
they just happen?
Are you ready? What is it that we, for a long time, could rarely do with our cars, and then we could, and now it would take you 10 times longer to do it if you could?
Wow. I love it.
What is it that you could rarely do, and then you could do easily, and then now if you wanted to do it, it would take you 10 times longer than it used to?
Oh, that's perfect. That's good. I like it. I like it. No one will get it.
Now, if you think you know the answer, or things are slow at work and you just feel like doing nothing else but writing us a letter, mail your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Ma 02238, or you can email us your answer from our website, cartalk.com. If you'd like to call, the number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk from
what was
the BBC. 1-888-227-8255.
Yeah, good. Okay. Hello, who's there?
My name is Sanjay.
Hi,
Sanjay.
I'm from Green Bay, California, just north of San Francisco.
Okay, got it.
Okay, I have a 1997 Plymouth Neon, and I have a problem starting the car. When I turn the key in the ignition, I get a rapid clicking sound most of the time. Now, sometimes it just starts, especially when the engine is warm. But one of the ways I alleviate the problem is that when I pump on the gas pedal, then it starts.
And the clicking is coming from under the hood?
From under the hood.
And what's the frequency of the clicking? You turn the key, does it click, 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 click?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, if we were to tell you that stepping on the gas had nothing to do with it, would you believe us?
Well,
it's too late, Sanjay.
I mean, you are convinced that what you do to the gas pedal somehow determines whether or not the car starts. You're convinced of that, aren't you?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I thought that it was a battery issue.
Yeah.
And because there's another connected issue, which is if I turn on the radio or turn on the lights when the engine is not running, after a minute the lights dim or the radio starts cracking up. So I thought that the battery is weak and I need to look at that. But then I said, let me just try the gas pedal. And 9 out of 10 times I get it started with the very first turn of the key.
I love it. Isn't it great? How statistics can help you solve problems?
See, when Tom asked you if there was any chance that you would believe, what was the? I forgot the question.
That it's unrelated to what he does to the gas pedal.
You could have said, of course!
No, but you have strong evidence. I mean, I would be on your side. That I would be hard-pressed to believe that it's unrelated to what you're doing to the gas pedal. And if I tried to tell you that even if you had done nothing to the gas pedal, it probably would have started 9 times out of 10 also, you wouldn't believe that.
I'm going to tell you to do the following experiment.
Okay.
Pretend you're stepping on the gas pedal.
Yeah, step on the rug.
Step on... The brake pedal. And I bet you it'll start 9 times out of 10. And I think what you have is a classic case of a corroded battery terminal end.
I see.
And you're right. It is a battery problem.
I mean, you could have the corrosion because the battery is near the end of its life.
Okay.
And it's outgassing and causing corrosion to build up between the terminal and the terminal end. Or you could simply have a weak battery with even no corrosion, and you'd get the same kind of symptom. Interestingly, turning the lights on sometimes will help the car to start.
I see.
I don't know why.
Yeah, you know, of course you know why.
I don't know why.
The lazy electron theory.
Yeah, I'm okay. That's as bad as stepping on the pedal. So here's what you're going to do. The next 10 times you try to start the car, either do nothing and but wait the amount of time that it would have taken you to step on the gas.
Okay.
Or better still, occupy your time by stepping on the brake pedal.
Okay.
And it starts. And then you can take it in and have them check the battery.
Okay.
And they're going to find something wrong that's going to cost you $475.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what time it is?
Time to power wash the curtains?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we revisit a caller from a previous show to see if the answer that we gave was 90% inspiration, 90% perspiration,
or 90% desperation. So who's our lucky contestant this week?
Our lucky contestant is Sue from New Jersey. You remember Sue?
I don't even remember New Jersey.
Sue called us a few weeks ago because her Subaru was squealing whenever she turned to the left. And, of course, we dazzled her with a seemingly irrelevant line of questioning.
I'm going to guess you must have like 37,000 miles in this car.
Oh, my God. Exactly. You're good.
See, the numbers, when you're unencumbered by the thought process.
The numbers just come to you.
The numbers just come to you.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna just throw in.
See, now you don't know when to quit.
You have to take a chance. I'm going to say that Sue
uses a cream rinse.
You're wrong about that.
We haven't discussed cream rinse for a long time. No.
I haven't used a cream rinse since the 70s.
I haven't used soap since the 70s.
Well, did we ever give Sue a serious answer?
We did. We told her that the wear sensor on her front brakes was making the squealing noise, and she needed a brake job. That's what we said.
We did? Yeah. All right, let's find out. Sue, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, before we find out if your brakes were complete garbage or our answer was complete garbage, we have to come and Mirandize you.
Okay.
Which involves putting you in a pot and adding sugar.
Yeah.
Sue, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's correct.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the $20 you got in the mail, the staff of National Public Radio, the $20 you got in the mail, or the lifetime supply of hair care products that we send you, or the $20 we got in the mail.
My answer is absolutely pure.
Okay. All right. Were we right or were we wrong?
You are dead right.
$20 always works, doesn't it?
I mean, usually dead is used with wrong. You were dead wrong. She scared me there for a second.
Yeah, I had a little skip of a beat there myself.
Were dead right.
Dead right.
Yeah, well, it was actually an easy question. It was almost like a gimme. You know what, when you're playing golf and the thing is so
and
close
you're like 15, 20 yards from the hole. You know,
yeah.
That's a gimme.
It's a gimme. Yeah, it was so easy.
So you went and had a brake job done, and of course the noise is gone.
The noise is gone when I turn.
Well, great, and we're so happy that we were right for once.
You did it.
And thanks for playing Stump the Chump, Sue.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
If any listeners hear someone on the show that you'd like us to invite on to Stump the Chumps, you could either write to us by snail mail at, you know, some address that we have in Cambridge.
How about Box 3500, Cambridge, Our Fair City, 022, what is it?
38. That's it.
That's
it, yeah. Or you can write to us on the website, cartalk.com, or you can just call us at that number that my brother, 888-888-888.
You can call us right now, 888-CAR-TALK. It's 888-2782-55. Hike! Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Jack.
Hey, Jack, where are you from?
Living in Davis from Pittsburgh.
Davis,
California.
California.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
I have a big problem, and I need your help.
Yeah.
Recently engaged to a wonderful and beautiful woman, and...
California girl?
Valley.
Valley girl!
Imagine San Francisco, rush hour, my lovely fiance is driving, and I'm in the passenger seat, and we're discussing wedding plans. And we arrive first at a four-way stop intersection. And then other cars arrive. And she looks at me and continues the discussion until she's finished with her point. There's a large stack up of hostages at the intersection waiting.
Oh, they're all being nice and they're waiting for her.
Well, nice up until, you know, a few minutes go by. And then the veins bulge and the fingers come out, and you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, for those of you who don't know, I mean, at a four-way stop, the first person who gets there has the right of way.
Right.
And she then, being the first...
Social chaos ensues.
Yeah. Because if the person who has the right of way doesn't take it, everybody else doesn't know what
to do. Well, then it reverts to the law of the jungle.
Well, that's what we're trying to avoid.
He or she with the most scratches has right of way?
Yeah, well, all that stuff.
I have found out that when it comes to conversation, I shouldn't say this.
Go ahead.
It's true.
Is this going to be a sexist kind of a comment here?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Women put a high priority on conversation, and this little intersection incident is nothing.
Yeah.
The conversation was not to you, Jack, but to her, and especially if it had anything at all to do with the wedding.
Yeah, I mean, it is true.
And
the question is one of priorities, and it seems as though, we know, women and men have different priorities and different views of just about everything. And where I mean,
Whoa, wait, stop. We can't both sleep in your car tonight.
I wasn't going to say anything bad.
Yeah.
Because I already saw that you were going to be using the garage tonight. I mean, I know that. So I'm gonna just prance around here very delicately. I'm saying that we are very different. And who's to say who's right? That's the issue. Who's to say that four people or 24 people waiting for someone to go through a stop sign is more important than what she had to say to you? God forbid that you should think that. You. Because if you think that those 24 people were more important than what she had to say to you...
You're in deep doo-doo
right now, man. And so, take it from someone who's had far more wives than you'll ever have. that she might be right.
I'm just curious, how did she react to all of it? I'm sure you started to make some noise about it.
Well, yeah, you know,
yeah, this would be
emotional conversation ensues about driving styles and philosophies of obligation to other drivers and efficiency of moving vehicles through town.
Right. And she said?
And her summary is condensed to one word as whatever.
Whatever, yeah.
You know, I feel like there's an obligation to other drivers to put driving at the top of the list of things that are going on.
Oh, I mean, that is
when you're driving.
First priority, yeah. For her and many folks feel like there's a list of things that are being done, be it, you know, a cell phone conversation or a conversation with a person in the car or makeup or anything else, and that the driving is just one of many tasks that doesn't necessarily have priority.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here.
Go ahead. I'm going to go out for coffee.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that, I mean, as everyone who has driven for the last 15 or so years knows, that the situation on the roads today is far worse than ever in the history of the world. Right?
In terms of courtesy and observance of the rules.
In terms of everything. It's lousy. It stinks. It's horrible. I'm going to be careful here. But I think that a major reason for this
is female drivers.
Hold on now. Hold on. I'm trying to be tactful here. I mean, sure, it's partly a problem because we have far more cars than we had 15, 20 years ago. I mean, we got double.
Come on, get right to the point.
But I think that one of the major problems has been... How cold is it going to be? Could we keep each other warm?
Supposed to snow today.
Then I have nothing to say. I have no idea what's going on.
Come on, don't be a chicken.
Jack, I wish you the best.
Don't
call me. I'll call you.
Help. We can't help.
We can't help you.
See you, man.
Thanks for calling anyway.
Well, thank you very much.
Poor guy.
So close. Oh, so close.
Well, it's happened again. You've squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, currently in spring training for the Tri-State Brew, Chew, and Barbecue, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our
Brew, Chew, and Barbecue.
Yeah.
Oof.
Oh, it's the biggest event of the season. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marge Genovera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our interpretive dance instructor is Tristan Shout. Our staff alpinist is Ariana Topiet. Our divorce attorney is Carmine Not Yours. Our sexual harassment investigator is Hank Pankey. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Outavindo. Our director of Pavlovian research is Isabel Ringing. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikov and Dropov. The banker at Car Talk Poker Games is Nikolai Putin. Our Russian vacation specialist is Ivana Vikov. Our seat cushion tester. our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham and Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to KGB informants sleeping on the benches in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like either one of them.
Oh, shut up.
That's my sister Lucille. She's your sister too.
Yeah, I think so. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1313, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our 25th anniversary swag all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, a topic on which many would say I'm one of the nation's leading experts.
Oh, beard-based food storage?
No, how to keep your car running forever.
I suppose so. These days, a lot of folks are planning to hold on to their cars an extra year or two.
Or 10.
So we've written up our best advice on keeping your car running long term.
Rule number one, never let my brother work on it.
Or let my brother live in it.
How to keep your car running forever, our best advice available all week at cartalk.com. Support for Car Talk on NPR comes from NPR member stations and
T. Rowe Price, presenting T. Rowe Price Connections, an online series exploring emerging opportunities from coffee to 3D printing. And
Lumber Liquidators,
offering a variety of sustainably harvested flooring, including pre-finished and stained.
At 1-800-HARDWOOD. And
Esurance, insurance for the modern world. Hey, do you think their smartphone app can fix a transmission?
No. But neither can we.
Well, that's true. And their app can find a repair shop that can.
Esurance and Allstate Company.
And the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, helping NPR stations generating deductions for donors and cleaning up my brother's front yard. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though mass communications majors get a sudden urge to switch to metallurgy whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
This is 90.3 WPLN, Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML, Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS, Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.